ESPN's Teron Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. Every Friday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD, good morning. How are we doing?
Hey, good morning. What's going on, fella?
Not a lot, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. First off, shout out to you for breaking the Jamal Adams story yesterday. What do you make of that signing and the fit here with the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think the fit is good. It's just situational. And a lot of people will hear the name Jamal Adams and think that the signing was made to be the end-all, be-all for the safety position. And I don't think that's the case. It's just getting a guy who still has some traits left that he was really good at and just using that specifically. That's the way I look at it. I don't think it's something where they're signing him to take over at safety. It's to be a complementary piece. And honestly, I think it's to take advantage of his pass rushing ability.
So, yeah, I've you know, wide range of reaction yesterday, TD, to this. And mine, you know, it's just, I mean, I'm with you. I people who immediately penciled him in starting next to Monty Hooker, I have a hard time buying that. I would still think Elijah Molden would be the starting safety next to Amani Hooker. Do you agree with that? And, I mean, how much of a concern, I guess, is just health at safety, you know, and having being able to rely on these guys? I mean, even Hooker, who has had, you know, a lot of time missed.
Hey, listen, I think Molden will still be the starter, but you're 1,000% right, man. Health availability is something that these three guys, you know, Monty Hooker, Elijah Molden, and Jamal Adams, none of them have had a full season of playing all 17 games and being available for all games in the last 3 years. And I think that's something that you have to look at and say, hey, you know what, Mike Brown, Matthew Jackson, these are guys that you could see them sneak onto the roster just because of that fact and also because of what they do special teams-wise.
So what do you think the Titans have in some of those guys? Because obviously, you know, a lot of Titans fans aren't as familiar with the names that you just mentioned. Do the Titans have any sort of quality depth at that position beyond what we've talked about with Adams and Molden? Well, how do you view what they've got behind those guys?
Yeah, well, I mean, you want to get familiar with Matthew Jackson, you just go to ESPN.com. I had a story on a post yesterday, you know what I mean? So I appreciate the opportunity to put that in there. But I think you look at both of those guys. I mean, it's unproven. Matthew Jackson, undrafted free agent last year, special teams mostly. Mike Brown, he came in and he played late, but then he had the injury. So I think, you know, it's definitely unproven. And that's why a guy like Jamal Adams got signed. And I tell you this, I wouldn't be surprised if they go out and make another move. I'm not saying a Justin Simmons type, but, I mean, I think they could make another move at safety and add even more depth there, proven depth, because there are some guys still left, you know, on the board that could come in and be, you know, quality depth pieces, having been a starter or something like that before.
Yeah, it's a great story on Matthew Jackson, ESPN.com. And, of course, kid who grew up right here, right in the shadow of Nissan Stadium. But, yeah, it's you know, I do look at this defense, and we talked about this earlier, TD, but like middle of the field, you know, Jack Gibbons, I mean, to me, I would rather have him as a backup. Jamal Adams, I just, you know, I mean, he was, to me, a tremendous player when Seattle acquired him. He's had especially one really serious injury, but he just I can't sit here and say I've watched him, you know, play after play, but it doesn't seem like he's had a ton of impact, and I just think people have to keep expectations low. But even like Kenneth Murray, who I'm excited to watch him in this defense, but obviously he also has some deficiencies. Like, is the middle of the field a concern for this defense?
I think it should be a concern if you're going to have Jamal Adams out there as one of your safeties consistently, right? You know, then you mentioned Jack Gibbons. And it's just, you know, with Gibbons, the athletic deficiencies are there. He knows how to read and diagnose, you know, but it's just that ability to get his body where it needs to go is just not always there. You watch the Dolphins game, you know, when Tua had to scramble, that's a good example. I think you look at Kenneth Murray, though, him he has all the tools, but it's just that ability to diagnose and read and react. That's not really there, and that's something that's why he didn't do well with the Chargers. You know, I've said it time and time again. He is somebody, and Jamal Adams is the same thing. They're guys where you go out there and you tell them, look, man, just go wreck shop, man. Just go play and go bust stuff up. That's what you ask them to do. And that's good, but in order to have guys like that, you have to have the other ones that, you know, are going to read and react and make sure that they're exactly where they need to be at all times and play with that controlled chaos, you know, as opposed to those guys where you just ask them, like I said, to just go wreck stuff.
So, TD, like, to that point, I think that makes this defense really interesting. We've talked about this week. Like, you could talk me into this defense being pretty good. Like, I really like Denard Wilson. I like, obviously, the corner group that they've assembled. Harold Landry being healthy, I think, would excite me, should excite most Titans fans, Jeffrey Simmons. And then I look at it and I say, all right, well, the depth at pass rusher beyond Harold Landry, middle linebacker kind of scares me a little bit, and the health at safety. Like, I have no idea how good this defense is going to be. How do you view the defense as a whole?
I view it the same way, man. It's like they have potential to be good. You know, there's a lot of things to be excited about, but there's also things to say, hey, I don't know, man. You know, you mentioned them. So I think it's, you know, the possibility of being really good, but also being kind of bad, because the way some of these things are set up, there's a likelihood where they're going to give up some X plays, you know, and any defensive coordinator, like, they hate doing that. But I think, you know, when you look at guys like Chidobe Awuzie, Roger McCreary, Jarius Sneed, like, they're going to mess around and be even more critical to what this defense wants to do, because, you know, if they go a lot of man defense, those guys, they're going to have to lock in, you know, and get sticky and make sure that they're not allowing guys to get behind them and giving that pass rush time to get home. So I think in this case, and I know Denard Wilson said that, you know, it's always wine in the trenches, but I think with this defense, the cornerbacks are really going to be the ones that set the tone and really make this defense go.
With Adams in particular, TD, obviously, you know, there was a thing last year where he, like, you know, left the stadium when he was, like, a healthy scratch. I mean, obviously, it didn't go the way he wanted. It still seems to me like, I mean, this happens in this league, right? I mean, you're a great player, your body gets diminished, and you can't do it the same, and you know, your role diminishes too. But how much – what do you think he has – like you said, situational player, what does he still do well that can help the Titans?
I think attack the quarterback, you know, and play in the box. He's a pure box safety / linebacker. You know, that's the way I look at him. I think, you know, the good thing is, you know, with Denard Wilson having been in Baltimore last year and as the secondary coach, you know, work with Kyle Hamilton, I think they could use him in a similar way. Now, you know, I'm not saying that Jamal Adams is Kyle Hamilton by any means, but I'm saying, like, the role, what you ask him to do could be similar, you know, have him kind of be that rover, that guy who also, you know, plays in the box and situations. That's the main thing, situations. Where Hamilton, he played all the time for them, obviously, but I think if you use him in select situations, you can still take advantage of that aggressiveness, that tone setter that he is.
So, TD, we talked about this earlier, too. Jeffrey Simmons put some thoughts out there in the aftermath of the of the signing yesterday and talked about, you know, quote, I'd just be seeing a lot of tweets that hit the bookmark. How do some of you guys cover the Titans but hate us so much? It's not the first time we've seen Jeffrey Simmons take to Twitter. What did you make of what Simmons had to say on Twitter yesterday?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, because he said also, hey, y'all be in the locker room and be in our face and all that.
Right.
I was like, listen, I look at it this way. I always, and I've consistently done this throughout my career, I've always been the person where I'm like, all right, I'm going to cover you the way I would want to be covered. You know what I mean? So you'll never hear me say a guy sucks, or you'll never hear me call a guy a bum. But, you know, I'll say, like, we're talking about Jamal Adams, right? And I'm sitting here like, hey, man, like, if he's in coverage, like, it's a problem. You know what I'm saying? That's different than saying, like, he sucks at coverage. It's all about the way you do it. I think you can critique a player or anything for that matter and be frank and honest about it, but just don't make it personal, you know. And we've seen different cases where, you know, people have made it personal and it's just like, It don't have to be that. Like, it's not that deep. You know what I mean? I don't know if the guy, you know, peed in your Cheerios this morning or what, but, like, there's no reason to talk about somebody that way. And that's just the way I look at it. So I think, you know, a lot of the stuff that was said about Jamal Adams, I guess, you know, he didn't like it, and it is what it is. I mean, there's some truth to some of it. And, you know, I'll be the first to tell you, like I said, he's not a cover person. And, you know, there have been some things that make you say, like, yeah, I don't know what kind of leadership he's going to bring, but, you know, there's ways you go about describing that.
So is Jeff ripping Jared?
We have a theory that it's now Mike Herndon.
Oh, it's Mike Herndon?
That's the theory on the text line. He blocked Jared, so I don't know how you could see any of Jared's stuff.
Yeah, but sometimes you block someone, you can still. Yeah, he blocked Jared. Yeah, we found that out a while ago. Because Jared obviously is the king of
sacks,
right, all the time. But I'm just trying to figure out who else. So Mike Herndon, okay.
That's just the theory that was put out there on the text line. I don't know.
Okay,
I have no idea who Jefferson was talking about.
You never know.
But he's not in the locker room. I'd like to think it's Kuharski he's mad at. Like, that's what you know, I mean. He has been before. But,
you know, I will never forget. I don't know what the reason was, but it wasn't last year. It was the year before. Kuharski had put something out there, and Jeff saw it. And then I remember we went in the locker room, and because, you know, Jeff, when he speaks, like, there's a crowd. And we went over there, and Jeff said something to him, and I looked in Jeff's face. I said to myself, like, big fella, please, please don't do what it looks like you're about to do. Like,
don't throw him across the room. Face.
I was like, don't do it. Don't do it.
Kuharski has that effect on people.
He does seem to have that effect on people every now and then. TD, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Hope you have a great weekend. And tell us about our friends at ESPN Bet Sportsbook.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I hope you guys have a great weekend as well. ESPN Bet is the official sportsbook of ESPN, and you get all types of interaction and promotions from your favorite sports personalities on the network. And as a new user, if you download it today, you get $100 in bonus bets. So make sure you do that. And again, it's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play.
Well, react to what TD had to say. Take your thoughts on the signing of Jamal Adams, 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines this morning, operational, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 102.5 The Game this Sunday for coverage of the Great American Getaway 400. Coverage will begin this Sunday at 12:30. Race starting at 1:30. Coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. And Pocono coming up this weekend, so make sure you're tuned in for that. Appreciate Teron Davenport for being with us in the last segment. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and the signing of Jamal Adams. Joe, I think, you know, we discussed Jamal Adams a lot to begin the show. Takeaway for me is it doesn't really change the equation of the defense all that much. Like, I don't know that I view the defense a ton differently today than I did yesterday, which is I feel great about corner. I feel okay about pass rush just because Harold Landry and Jeffrey Simmons are there. I have big questions about T'Vondre Sweat. I have big questions about middle linebacker. And now they've added yet another safety that I don't know if they can stay healthy. So it doesn't really change to me what the overall view of the defense is for me, which is I have no idea what to expect from the defense. And then, by the way, you factor in a first-time defensive coordinator that I think most of us are very excited about, but he's never been a defensive coordinator before. So we're going to see how that goes.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's still a big range of could be this. And I guess you could probably say this about a lot of teams, a lot of sides of the ball, but I do feel like this defense, the range is big. Like, there's – okay, so you mentioned T'Vondre Sweat questions for sure, but there's also excitement and possibility there for sure.
Yes.
Like, there's big potential. I mean, I like the idea of the pick, again, as long as the red flags end up being buried and – forgotten, and he can be a real difference maker. Kenneth Murray, again, we've talked about him. I think there's definitely a lot there to work with. Yeah, Jamal Adams is a depth add, and I think TD, I'm very glad to know that TD is on Team Molden, is still the starting safety, because I feel pretty strongly about that. And Jamal Adams is like a hybrid player who could be used in certain situations. And maybe another year separated from the injury, new environment, way less pressure, because that's the thing too. When he was in Seattle, let's not forget, not only did Pete Carroll trade away 2 first-round picks, they gave him a huge deal, right, in Seattle. 4-year extension. God, what the heck was it? That 4-year? I mean, at the time, especially for a safety, it was a big, big deal. I think it was like 4 for 70-something, right? I believe that's right.
Yep, it was 70 exactly. 4 for 70.
Okay. So, now you come here and it's, hey, man, you're trying to stay in the league. The pressure is low. I mean, if anybody out there, again, is reacting to this like it's some huge signing, then I don't know how much attention you've been paying to the NFL the last few years. It's not a big impact signing. It's not going to be a big number. We don't have the number yet, but it's not going to be a big number. It's a depth add.
Sincerely hope not. Matt from Camden on the text line. Why not just move Jamal Adams to linebacker? I think he'd be more beneficial for the defense in that role rather than safety, especially if he's just going to be in the box anyways. That's from Matt from Camden on the text line.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure he's a down-in, down-out linebacker either. But I guess.
So you could do how much – ideally, let's say that the three of Hooker, Molden, and Adams all stay healthy, which is a gigantic – it's probably not going to happen, but let's just say for the sake of argument that's the case.
That'd be incredible.
What's the ideal role for Adams? How much should he be used? How do you use him? How does he help you? Like, how do you get through this and say, all right, Jamal Adams is going to help this football team?
Yeah, I think just like TD said, yes, as we discussed, the best entire tweet of this whole thing was – the NFL Twitter account that was like, most sacks of defensive backs since 2017, and Mike Herndon quote tweeting and saying, also, least since 2020. Zero. But that's got to be it, right? The occasional blitzer, a guy who can just kind of move around the field and make plays mostly in the box. Yeah. I think it's just – I mean, TD said it multiple times last segment. He's not a cover guy. He's just not. But again, people talk about him being a linebacker. I mean, he's 6'1", what is he, like 6'1", 215? I mean, it's still, that's a little light to be a linebacker.
Yeah. Well, and again, to your point, he has not registered a sack since 2020. So
he's a tweener.
I realize that he has been hurt the last 3 years. He has also played in 22 games.
Right.
So he's had 22 games to come up with one sack. So, I don't know that I have the expectation. And I realize he and Denard Wilson worked together when Jamal Adams was at the height. So that at least you have in your back pocket of somebody who's very familiar with him. But I don't know that I have a huge expectation that Jamal Adams is going to come in and be effective in an area where he's not being effective the last 3 years.
Yeah,
and that's getting after the passer.
But that's got to be it.
I guess
that's the skill set that we've at least seen from him before, right?
Yeah.
So yeah,
So just go get Justin Simmons now. Let's get as many safeties as possible.
Well, is Jared right in saying? And that's a big question that's rarely answered in the affirmative.
Is Jared right?
But in thinking he might be on this that. By the way, I'm way too aligned with him in general on this, and it makes me uneasy. I'm feeling like Belichick right now. Is he
– well, hold on.
Feeling Belichicky. Is he right that this signing would make a Justin Simmons say, okay, well, I'm not going there? I don't think it should.
I don't think it should either. What I would love to know, what sort of money is Simmons and or a Diggs looking for? Clearly, whatever they're looking for, they've not found to this point.
And I think that's why they're not signing. I don't think it's because people don't think they can play. I think that's it.
Right. Yeah. So, my first reaction when I saw this yesterday was, wow, Jamal Adams is the choice when there's Simmons and Diggs still out there. Now, I don't think there's any doubt that Jamal Adams is going to end up being cheaper than those two guys as well. So, what's the money and what are those guys looking for? And again, looking for is one thing. What are you actually going to find in an offseason where a lot of people have basically jettisoned the safety position, where they, you know, we talk about inflation at a lot of places. You know, Titans got rid of Kevin Byard last year. This offseason, a lot of guys out there have just been discarded at safety. It's a position right now that doesn't seem like there's a ton of value, at least the way it's viewed around the league.
And yet, boy, I think it's pretty important still. I mean, obviously, there aren't many great players. You guys talked earlier, you know, Ed Reed and the Polamalu and these great, great safeties. There aren't many of them, but I still think a really good safety has a lot of value. Tell me that Kevin Byard didn't bring a lot to this team. Take away the leadership and stuff, but like in his good seasons when he was playing in the 21 season, Byard and Hooker, they had a lot going on that defense, and you start with the pass rush and it was good. But Byard and Hooker that year, when they were together playing and healthy, they made up for a very underwhelming corner group. It didn't matter as much. It's still important. I mean, you're covering the deep part of the field. In this NFL, how is it not important?
You would think. Somebody says, I think the Jamal Adams signing a terrible one, regardless of the contract or the circumstances. Somebody asking if we know the stats on his QB pressures. I can find that real quick. I can tell you the hits. He had two quarterback hits in 2021 in 12 games, one quarterback hit in one game in 2022. So that's pretty good per game. And then two quarterback hits in 9 games last year. So I'll go find the pressure stats, but hitting the quarterback, he has done it a total of 5 times in the last 3 years.
I mean, you at least – obviously, blitzing, and he has been very effective in the past in that. But also,
and you're trying to rush the process and make the quarterback get the ball out quicker than he wants. It doesn't always result in a hit.
Right. Can he tackle in the open field? I mean, that's a big part of it too, right? I mean, your run support, how is he at that? The PFF grades are not good from last year. However much stock you want to put in those, some people put – you know, stock in them if it helps their argument, and then ignore them if it doesn't help their argument. But I don't, you know, I think there's some value in that. I mean, you can, like, PFF people going through tape, again, like, offensive line grades, I think are ridiculous. They don't know assignments on a lot of those plays. Seeing if someone misses or makes a tackle, you can record that.
Take more of your thoughts on the Jamal Adams signing for the Titans. What do you make of the signing? What does it do for the Titans defense? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our text line, operational once again today. So hit us up, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning, taking your thoughts in our YouTube chat, which, by the way, multiple Keysers now in the YouTube chat. Nick and Jacob Keyser going back and forth with each other in the YouTube chat. Yep. Text line operational as well, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. The Titans signed Jamal Adams. We do not yet have details, Joe, on the number in terms of the money that they have given Jamal Adams. I would not expect that it's a lot. What we say earlier, like anything more than $2 million, I'll be stunned. So maybe some performance accelerators, some incentives, but anything more than $2 million, I would be pretty surprised by. What does it all mean? How do you view the signing? How will it affect the Titans defense? Taking your thoughts on all that, 615-737-1025. You know, I look, the Molden part of this is interesting to me because we just don't really know what he is. Like, he's not played a ton of safety, and he's not really been on the field all that much. So, like, I like some of what I've seen from Molden. I thought when he played at the nickel spot, he was pretty effective blitzing. They used him in time to get after the quarterback that way. You know, Kuharski has brought up some speed concerns, which I think is there. You know, Hooker I feel good about, especially in coverage, right? The other two I would have questions about. Like, is Elijah Molden going to hold up in coverage as a safety? As we know, Jamal Adams, it's, coverage is not his forte. So are the Titans, regardless of if it's Molden or Adams back there, are they in danger of being susceptible on the back end to the big play? You know, TD talked about giving up explosive plays. And you look at the secondary as a whole and you think maybe that shouldn't be the case because you've got Awuzie and you've got Snead and you've got McCreary in the slot. But if you've got safeties that don't hold up in coverage, that could end up being a pretty big problem for you.
Yeah, I mean, Molden's best football that he's played, obviously been in the slot, run support, very good, very physical, actually also pretty effective blitzer himself. So I guess in some ways he and Jamal Adams have some commonalities, but I think if you took Jamal Adams right now and took Elijah Molden right now and you gave them both fully healthy seasons and played them at the same position, the same defense, I think that you would see better coverage metrics on Molden than on Adams.
I would agree.
I think he's a better option. And I think at safety, yes, Elijah Molden, any Titans fan who's watched closely, there have been times he's been toasted out there, okay? I mean, his first game, they made sure to pick on him right away. That was Christian Kirk, I think.
Yeah.
But I think at safety
– very famous game here.
Yeah. Elijah Molden back on the field.
And when they get on offense, here comes Taylor Lewan, who's given up 7 sacks today.
I think that Molden's speed at safety is fine. I think he can do the job. Now, my biggest question with him is health. With Adams, it's health, and also I don't think that he's an every down starting safety in the NFL. So that's how I compare them. I was a bit surprised, and I got right on Twitter because Zach Football immediately was like, you know, Elijah Molden is starting at safety. I'm like, yes, and Kaharski, you know, is already penciling in Adams. Hey, man, this makes it even more interesting in training camp. It's another one of those
sure
situations where I'm very interested to see how it plays out. But right now I'd feel good about penciling in Elijah Molden and not changing that and then just seeing what kind of role they can carve out, if any, for Adams.
Well, and we're going to be talking – we had a question on the text line just a few minutes ago, like what are the odds that halfway through the season Jamal Adams and L'Jarius Snead both are on the sideline in street clothes. Like, it's harder for me to answer the L'Jarius Snead part of it because, I mean, clearly he's dealing with the knee, but he played in all the games last year. And I guess at the end of the day, as long as he can play in the games, that's what really matters here. So I don't know. Like, I don't know if Snead's knee is like some ticking time bomb and eventually it's going to go off and he's not going to be the same player and he's not going to be available. I don't know if it's just something he's going to have to manage and he's going to be able to play all year. I mean, the recent history would tell me that Adams is going to struggle to stay on the field because he's not played – he hadn't played a full season, like in every game, since 2018. And back when they were still playing 16 games. It's been 14, 12, 12, 1, and 9 since then. So, I mean, for you to sit here and tell me that you think he's going to play 16 or 17 games right now, I just think it's not living in reality. It's hard for me to get there.
Yeah, and there's just such a big difference. Snead is close to the top of his profession in the league.
Exactly.
In terms of performance. So, of course, it's a concern, and especially when he's missing time and everything, but –
And we'll be talking about that a lot, sure, by the way. Like, the Titans clearly believed it wasn't a problem, or at least wasn't a problem enough to trade for him and give him money, and apparently other teams did.
Right.
So
the market for him makes it clear that other teams disagree with him, and that happens all the time. And if you're a Titans fan, you've seen your team burned by that too often in recent years, though primarily with the previous regime. But that's a big-time player who, until further notice, is a big-time player. Jamal Adams has not been that in many years.
He has not. And, again, I just don't know that it changes the equation that much on the defensive side of the ball. This defense, everybody's going to focus in on the offense, and I get it, because the offense is, number one, it's what people care about in the NFL now. You have an offensive head coach that is a first-time play caller. You're trying to determine if your quarterback that you drafted in the second round last year is your future franchise leader. So I get it. Us, everybody else, the main thing we're going to be talking about this year is the offense. This defense is really fascinating. Like, it's a very fascinating defense. And I'm not saying that the difference between them making the playoffs or not is going to be like, can the Titans have a top 10 defense? Can they find a way to generate, you know, 45 sacks, 50 sacks this year? But I do think and even nationally, I think a lot – Charles Robinson talked about this a little bit yesterday too. Number one, I think the offense has a chance to be a little bit better than people think it does. But I think even if you have a negative view of Will Levis, I think that's allowed a lot of people to shape okay, whatever I think about Will Levis is what I think about the Titans. And it's not always that cut and dry when it relates to a team in the National Football League. The defense is really intriguing. Like, I think this is a really fascinating group that they've assembled on defense this year.
Yeah. I mean, the whole team, there's just so much new stuff. Obviously, Levis played last year, but it's Levis in a new system and a lot of new players, some high-priced players, really interesting, polarizing draft picks, new head coach who's a first-time play caller, new defensive coordinator who's a first-time defensive coordinator.
Yep.
Yeah, it could be all over the map. But the general NFL consensus is they suck.
Yeah.
So someone on the text line said, what, apparently the new Madden? They're the worst team? Is that right? They have the lowest rating as a team?
They said Madden 24, which I believe is last year's
version. That would be last year's.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, I have not seen the Madden ratings this year. I would almost guarantee you the Titans are near the bottom. I mean, they just probably are. So,
And I'm not saying they should be like 12th, but it's interesting. I guess when it comes down to it, would you bet on all these things coming together for the Titans this year? I don't know.
Not all of them.
I bet a ton.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, some of them will.
Some of them will. Yeah. I mean, your hope is more will than won't. And if more will than won't, what does that mean? Like, how good are they?
Enough of them will, I believe, to make them a relevant team for most of the season, which I know that's really exciting, I'm sure. That's a great – put that on a bumper sticker.
Well, they were not that last year.
Right. So. Titans, relevant for most of the season. Right. But I think that's a reasonable expectation. Again, that is overachieving per the NFL.
Scott on Twitter says, move Caleb Farley to safety for depth. He won't make the team as a corner. We've talked about that before, the idea of moving him to safety. I don't know whether or not they have any appetite to actually do that.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like one thing with Farley – and it's so hard to decipher with all the injuries, but I do think that there's been some lack of awareness at times when he has been on the field. If you have that as a corner, then a move to safety probably isn't your thing. I said a few years ago when they – I don't know what was going on at receiver. Was that like after A.J. Brown? Give him a try at receiver.
Yeah.
He was actually a really good receiver. I think he had a good run at Virginia Tech. I guess he was a quarterback in high school, but that, I would look at that before – safety, but he's going to stay at corner, and he's going to have to be fantastic, you know, on special teams in the NFL, moving forward to be in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be, I think, an uphill battle for him to make the team. He did, let's see here, rushing and receiving. He had one rush attempt for 2 yards in college, and in receiving, he did not catch a pass.
Oh, college. Really?
Yeah.
Why did I think he was good at receiver at Virginia Tech? I almost self-professed.
He did
Virginia
play
Tech
receiver
fan too. He had no stats.
Not that I've seen.
Okay. I mean, he was really good at corner in 1 year in particular. That's what got him drafted. He was unbelievable.
Very good kick returner.
But
21.7 yard average.
Okay, that's not bad. Real quick, Jabari Martin on the YouTube chats. Yeah, I'm both chats, double chatting it. Says, I view Jamal as a dime package linebacker, early down run stopper with Hooker playing center field. Yeah, I mean, sure. I think that there's different packages you could find. I mean, my question would be, like, can he cover a tight end at times? Like, think about, like, the Crookshank role.
Yeah.
But I don't – at this point, I don't think so.
I don't know.
Indications aren't great on that.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll get more of your thoughts on a Jamal Adams signing by the Tennessee Titans. Plus, Joe Rexroad's made a friendly wager with Willie Donick.
Oh,
we'll
yeah.
get into that as well. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, I have not seen the video that accompanies this post that I'm about to read off, and I am sure that Jeff Darlington is providing excellent commentary on the state of the NFL and specifically the Kansas City Chiefs. But here's just what the tweet says from GetUp on ESPN. Quote, Jeff Darlington isn't counting Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs out for a three-peat. Eyeball emoji. As if this is some
there's an breaking, eyeball emoji.
There's
an
eyeballing emoji. Breaking news. Jeff Darlington is not counting out the team that has won the previous two Super Bowls to potentially win another one.
Eyeball emoji. Eyeball emoji. Whoa, Darlington. Calm down.
Slow it down with a hot take.
You're putting your career on the line here. Your credibility is on the line here with such hot takes.
You're not counting out, depending on which sports book you look at, either the number one or number two Super Bowl favorite to win the Super Bowl this year.
I'm saying there's a chance. I'm not going to completely discount the possibility. I'm Jeff Darlington. Now, I hope Darlington looks at that tweet later and says, which freaking intern is running this social media account?
Jeff Darlington.
It's like we let Brennan tweet out like our segments. Like, what would that look like, you know?
Probably not that bad.
Can he hear me in there? Does he know I'm ripping him? No.
Jeff Darlington. So in case you all were wondering, you can rest easy. Jeff Darlington is not counting out Kansas City for the chance to win the Super Bowl.
Jeff, good to know. Man. Jeff, easy, buddy. Easy.
I saw that tweet, and I was just like, really? Is this what we're doing? Okay. We need some training camp or something to roll around here, because my God.
How much of our show do we spend ripping Twitter while also spending still way too much time on Twitter?
I've said it before. The moment that I'm no longer in this job or in sports, Twitter's gone.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I hate it.
I don't know. I hate it too, but I don't really talk to people on there anymore. It's way better. I just ignore them or mute them.
Yes.
And then there's stuff on there that I find funny and entertaining. And there's a lot of stuff on there that makes me think we're all dying soon.
Well.
Which we may. But like, you know, there's some entertainment.
Alex Belichick's having a great time before we all die.
God. Bill knows.
Thanks, Bill.
Bill knows.
615-737-1025. Our phone number. I would not say that we've run across much. There have been some. We've not run across many Titans fans today that are going over the top with the Jamal Adams stuff. Most of it has been measured takes.
Yeah, and I think that's, again, anybody who cares enough to, you know, comment on things, listen to this program, you know, read stuff, read coverage, follow the NFL to some extent, knows that Jamal Adams, you know, has really not been a difference maker in several years. I mean, he hasn't been a difference maker in the 20s.
No.
Like in the teens, he was very good. I guess he was good in 2020 still, but it's been a while. So it's a depth add. It's not worth getting all – I'm sure Jared will spend 3 days next week screaming about it. After he finds his garbage pail.
Yeah.
But, it's not – it is like – the Simmons tweet, I would love to know who he's talking about if it's not Jared. And just like the Titans, again, I can't knock the Titans. You're gonna celebrate any move you make, but this whole adding all pro bowl talent, it's like, come on, man. That is a little bit
disingenuous?
It's a little bit of false advertising.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I would say so.
By the way, I gotta give a shout out to Big League Designs. This town was better when it had Crookshank and Yarn Croak. I couldn't agree more.
Amen. Bring them back.
Yeah.
You have a bet.
We need Gunnar Wolf Fontaine quickly.
Should be getting close to him. Just get around.
Haven't heard much about him.
I don't even care I don't care if he stays for more than five games. Get him up here at some point.
Yeah.
For no other reason than the jersey. Gunnar Wolf Fontaine. You have a bet with Willie Donick as it relates to the Nashville Predators as well. Explain to the people the terms of this bet.
Well, Willie's the one choosing violence out here. He's always trying to poke the bear and like, hey, guys, let's keep arguing about this, about his big plan for Yaroslav Askarov to be Saros'
understudy for
ward and backup for a decade. But
he's really going to hate us.
What was that? What did you just play?
You're dead, Willie.
I'm not saying that, but I am betting Willie. We're betting a hot honey and pepperoni pizza at our favorite place. No free ads, but we all know where it is.
We do.
And the bet is this. I bet that Yaroslav Askarov will be traded away from the Nashville Predators organization by the end of the next trading deadline.
Yes.
And Willie is going to take that bet.
Yep.
So there we go.
I think I'm Team Willie in this discussion.
Are you? You think he'll be around after?
I think he'll be around.
That?
I'm not saying that that's the right move, but I think he will be. I think he'll still be here.
Okay.
By the time the deadline comes.
How long?
I think next summer. I'd say by that next summer he's gone.
That would really tick me off if I lost the bet. It's like losing the Joe Milton bet to you when I easily could have won it. Why didn't I just say in the next year he'll be traded?
You established the terms.
Would Willie
of that
have
one.
Taken that bet if I said in within a year?
I think he might have.
God, I'm no. stupid.
I think he might have. I don't know. Look, he may get traded before training camp. I have no idea. But
did you see the statement from his reps?
Yeah.
You know, it's about what you'd expect, but it's like, yeah, he's an NHL player.
Yeah. Which, debatable, but I certainly understand their position. He very well could be. He's certainly going to be one day. Like this, you know, we started getting into some of these conversations like, well, you know, the Predators have had first-round picks that haven't worked out before at goalie, which is true. I think Askarov's going to be an NHL player. There's a pretty incredible level of raw talent that he's got.
Acknowledge me.
My God, he's
we're gonna have to
Friday.
Really control
he's just like over there, like Herbie Hancock on the keyboard, bam, 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 hitting every button
that's
he can
75%
hit.
75% of these made no sense.
Is Brennan? Good. Don't let him near that thing. I think he's at least going to be a good goalie. He's going to be a good goalie. I don't know if he's going to be a star goalie, but he's too good to not be. I mean, when he came up last year, yeah, he looked the part. I love your scenario. This is what's going to happen. They are going to trade him at the trading deadline as part of a larger – there'll be some picks in there, maybe another prospect, and they're going to address their center depth in some way. They're going to be one of the better teams in the West. They're going to see that's their weak spot. They're going to have to address center, and Askarov will be part of the package. That is what's going to happen.
I could see it.
And that's why I'm going to win the bet.
I could see it. I mean, there is no doubt in my mind, and that's even if Tommy Novak works out to be best-case scenario, they need more help at center. So – I mean, let's say Novak is best case scenario. They're one injury away from really having to scramble, unless you just want to put Steven Stamkos down the middle at all times, which I don't know whether or not they want to do. So I'm calling my shot. There will be an addition of a top six centerman between now and February.
And the thing about Stamkos, he can play it. He has played it. But at this point in his career, you want him to do what he does best.
You want him on the wing.
At the highest level and on the power play, and you can't wear a guy down to that extent.
615-737-1025.
Also, you didn't mention Colton Sissons one time. Colton Sissons hate is real with you.
Like me some Colton Sissons. People got to quit putting him in the top six. That's my only take. Hope Colton Sissons have a great summer, by the way.
Drop the mic.
Doing a good job. Chasing Big Joe coming up next. Big Joe riding solo today. Nick Frazier going to be in there as well.
Better get ready, Nick Frazier.
So
get those pipes ready.
We'll be back Monday morning. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.